Well, this morning, we have the privilege, we have Jeremy Moore, who's going to be sharing the scriptures with us this morning. Now, Aletheia Church is part of a worldwide family of churches called Every Nation. And our Every Nation Church in Philadelphia is called Freedom Church. And Jeremy is the creative director over that entire church, but he's also hitting up their brand new church plant in Cherry Hill, New Jersey.
Yes.
There you go. Hey, come on. Power.
Yes.
And Jeremy and I have become really good friends over the past few years, and I love his heart for the local church. I love his understanding of when we have him over for dinner and our two kids are running amok and it's chaos. He has two young kids of his own, so I don't need to explain anything. I can just, like, he gets it. So would you join me in welcoming Pastor Jeremy Moore?
Thank you, Justin, for that warm welcome. I'm so excited to be here this morning. You guys have such a beautiful, rich church family here, and it's been a blessing so far to be here. Again, as Justin has said, my name is Jeremy Moore. I am on the pastoral team at Freedom Church of Philadelphia, and I serve there as a worship and creative director, and also as our location pastor of our new Cherry Hill location. So this is a welcome change to be kind of away from the three services and the 1,000 or so people every Sunday and trying to run those services. And so I'm loving being here with you guys this morning. I had such an amazing time so far. I'm excited about what God wants to share through me today. Before I jump in, I do want to give a quick shout out to my family who unfortunately couldn't be here with me today. I have a picture so you guys can get to know them. That's my beautiful wife, Elizabeth. We've been married for almost 7 years, and I like to show this picture because this is a date night picture, and it was always fun. You see the cheesy smiles on our faces because we don't have to worry about bills and mortgage and sleepless nights. And speaking of sleepless nights, I have another picture of our beautiful daughters. Over to you guys' left is our oldest, Luciana Elise. She is 5 and a half, and we call her Lulu or Lou, or in the house we call her Honey Bun. And then to the right is our little dream girl, Farrah Jolie, and we call her Cheeks around the house because she has these big cheeks. So now that you met my family a little bit, I'm so excited to share this morning, at least in part, what God has on my heart is a message that He's been writing in my life. So this morning, as I'm sharing, I'll be sharing a little bit of my testimony. So I'm hoping that you'll engage with me, you'll get to know me a little bit, but also my hope is that you'll also be encouraged and activated in your faith this morning to take steps closer to the Lord. This message is about just discovering the heart of the Father and what it means to be a son or a daughter in the kingdom. So this morning, again, Justin has given me the privilege of being unapologetically myself this morning, and then he will deal with the aftermath of that. So although I've been in Every Nation for probably 20 years now so far, I have a heritage I'm from North Carolina, and so I grew up in a Black Baptist church. Yes. So he already knows where I'm going with this. It helps me engage when you guys are really engaged in the moment, and I may throw some call and responses in there, so I know you may be typically quiet on a Sunday. I know you're already always engaged, but I may ask you to engage with me and call back to me, and if you don't like it, I won't be here next week, and then you don't have to worry about it. Okay, so again, this morning, this is one of those areas, I think normally in church, we typically navigate through the seasons of life, and we teach about on singleness, we teach on marriage, and we teach on parenthood. But one of the roles of the family, even in the spiritual family, that I feel like the Lord's been writing on my heart is this role of being a son and a daughter in the kingdom. And this is one this morning that I feel like when we talk about other areas or seasons of life, sometimes you can feel like it's unrelatable to you because maybe you're single and you're not married. So when we're talking about that, it's like, what is that for? You're not a parent. And so, but this morning, we get the privilege of talking about something that we all can engage in, right? We're all sons and daughters. So why don't you, let's try this as an exercise this morning. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, that's me. Yes. Or when you turn to your other neighbor, if you have a second neighbor, and you say, that's you. Yes. Got it. Okay. So now that we've all established that we can identify with this message, we're going to kind of dive right in. Again, before we become that single adult or a spouse or a parent, we're all born into the role of a child. And very similar to our natural roles as children, in our spiritual family, we're also, in our journey as Christ followers, are born again into the spiritual family as sons and daughters. So we're going to read together this morning in Romans in chapter 8, beginning in verse 13. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Love that passage. God adopts us as his sons and daughters. So what does this mean this morning for us, and how are we going to apply this in this morning in the message? It's a role that we assume involuntarily, much like when we're born into the world, we become sons or daughters of someone, and much like that, we kind of just grow into it. We don't really learn how to be good sons or good daughters, and we just kind of are sons and daughters. Our parents teach us how to become adults, how to become self-sufficient. But when it comes to what does it mean to be a son or a daughter, we kind of live in this, we assume that this is a role we don't have to grow into or sow into. And I believe that gets overlooked in our teaching sometimes on the role of the family, especially in our spiritual family. And so this morning, I'm hoping that we get to kind of almost unlearn some of the ways that we have learned how to exist as sons and daughters in the natural that we then apply or we unknowingly transfer to our relationship with God the Father. And I want us to discover today what it means that God is our Father, he's perfect in every way, and that he has designed a way for us to relate to him as such. So let's pray this morning. Father, we just thank you for your scriptures, for the revelation that you have for us this morning. Just pray by your spirit that you will speak to us, you will speak to our hearts. You will help us to hear what you have to say this morning. We thank you, Lord, in your name, Jesus, we pray, amen. All right. So I can't talk about this without bringing up our earthly parents, right? So much of how we relate to God when we first coming to our relationship with him is initially framed by how we were with our own parents, how they raised us, how they nurtured us, how they loved us. We kind of talked about that a little bit last night at dinner. For some of us, even or maybe most of us, when we look through this lens of through our parents and how we were raised, we can see a very tainted view on the image of a parent, and it can skew us. Sometimes we're tainted by our rejection or misunderstandings, broken trust, or real or perceived abandonment by our parents. Some of us may be in this room today with very broken and real brokenness within our relationships with our parents, and it's affected the way that we've experienced relationship with God the Father. And now some of us come from stable homes with two loving parents. That's always our goal, right? And that's always a blessing. And we honor that and we celebrate that in the church. And but I believe there's a level playing field for us today, because no matter how much your parents bear the image of God in your home or how perfect they can be, at some point they will always fail us in that capacity to bear the image of God. And, I always like to tell my kids when I'm angry or something, like, I am not God, I'm angry, I need to step away for a moment and get myself together before I sin. And it's always one of those things that we kind of take on in our family, because we know that we will be impatient when God is not. You know, we will get angry and express that when God is not. We may as kids, we may feel unknown or unheard by our parents in some season of our life. You know, it says anyone who's ever been a teenager in their life, you know what that's like. And in these failings, we build ways to cope as sons and daughters that are not the way God has intended for us to relate to him. My testimony is I lost my dad at a young age, before the age of 10, to suicide. And it was wreaked havoc on me growing up. But then I found the Lord, and my story is a beautiful story. I met the Lord at 17 and became a Christian. But growing up in sonship has been a revelation for me. Because even at the age of 17, I still felt rejection. I was dealing with issues of abandonment and needing to seek approval and unworthiness that wreaked havoc on my growth with the Lord. So I speak so passionately about this subject, and I was so excited to share this morning because I'm learning how to grow up in the spirit of sonship, and it's done wonders for my growth. And so this is a message, again, that God has been writing on my heart. I think I'm going to write a book about this one day because of this, the things that I've learned and discovered about this, that I'm hoping you get some things out of this today for you. So we're going to, today, first we're going to learn together today that sons and daughters in the family of God, we don't second guess the goodness of the Father. We're going to take some of our cues this morning from Psalm 73, from a psalm of Asaph, and we're gonna listen to what Asaph has to say around this topic. And if you don't know who he was essentially the king's worship leader. He led the temple choirs during David's reign, and so for me, when I think about that, he is as truest of a son in the Old Testament that we can really glean from how he experienced relationship with the Father, and we get to kind of peek into his relationship with the Lord in the Psalms. And so we're going to take our look firstly at how he expressed his frustration when he was facing a tough situation. And let me just say this before I start. I know people who have come from loving parents and two-parent homes, and they've great that still struggle in their relationship with God the Father. And so I believe this message is for everyone. You don't have to have a broken past to get something from this today. So I hope you lean into this moment and as we try to go deeper in our relationship with the Lord. So we're going to read from the New Living Translation, starting in verse 1. Truly God is good to Israel, to those whose hearts are pure. But as for me, I almost lost my footing. My feet were slipping, and I was almost gone. For I envied the proud when I saw them prosper despite their wickedness. I'm going to skip down to verse 13 here. Did I keep my heart pure for nothing? Did I keep myself innocent for no reason? I get nothing but trouble all day long. Every morning brings me pain. If I had really spoken this way to others, I would have been a traitor to your people. So I try to understand why the wicked prosper, but what a difficult task it is. Haven't we all been here before, where life seems to beat us down and kick us down some more when we're already down and we feel some sort of sense of injustice for ourselves, or that we feel like we're the forgotten ones, much like Asaph. You know, when we get overwhelmed, we can easily slip down a slope of doubting God's goodness for us. And I love this picture that God is painting for us in these scriptures, that how quickly we can become disillusioned like Asaph and second guess the goodness of God, how it can seem like God is not understanding our needs or our desires, and he's not thinking about our best interest. And this reminds me, when I think about being a natural child, reminds me of being a teenager. Because there's no season quite like it as a son or daughter where we naturally question the intentions of our parents. I'm from Philadelphia, so I naturally think of DJ Jazzy Jeff and Fresh Prince, and it comes to my parents just don't understand. And we may not think about it like that's what's happening, but a lot of times, especially as teenagers, we learn to operate in life and process life away from our parents. Now, some of that is great. Developmentally, we need to do that. But there's a lot of things that we learn, and I think we learn from our culture, that parents just don't get us. There's a way we kind of stop going to our parents for certain things, or, you know, when we're facing tough questions, our parents aren't the ones we go to ask. We always feel like they're trying to stop us. I know for me, stop us from trying to do the things we want, for to have the things that we want, to go the places we desire to go. I love this picture of my mom, because she, obviously she's a beautiful Southern Black lady who, you know, I had my best friend Kevin lived down the street, and I always felt like Kevin got everything from his parents, like all the cool toys and all the stuff. And so you have a mom like mine, and you're like, Mom, I want this. Why can't I have this? And why Kevin's mom bought this for them. Why can't I get that? And she would always say, her canned response was, well, I ain't Kevin's mama. That was her response to us all the time. And I love picking my mom. She's amazing. But that's the thing. And so we learn, like, okay, maybe I don't need to ask my parents. Or maybe I can figure out some things on my own. And there's a point here is as we relate this back to the scripture, it's like Asaph. Life can come at us really fast and furious. Or when we're asking the questions, we can feel like, man, God is blessing everyone else, or God is doing this thing over here, and he's forgotten me, and how quickly we can become disillusioned, and we can second guess the goodness of God or question his intentions for us. But I love the scriptures because they tell us the truth about who God is. And so we're going to go to Jeremiah 29, and we're going to see the Father's heart for us. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come. So this is, I love this part. God is asking us to come to him. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Another picture of the Father's heart, Psalm 23. Psalm of David, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his namesake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Here's my favorite part. Surely your goodness. Can we repeat that this morning? Can you repeat after me? Surely your goodness. Come and say, surely your goodness. Yes, and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord. That's a promise from the Lord that surely his goodness will follow us. So we face this crossroads. One is how we've learned how to process, by our own culture, that where we've conditioned ourselves to go somewhere outside of the home first when we need to process the issues of life. And then there's the other road that we see in the scriptures, the Father's design for how he wants us to relate to him. You know, will we second guess that God is for us when we get through a tough situation or we're lacking understanding that he has plans for us that are ultimately for our good and his glory? Or we run to the Father. As a son or daughter, I want us to learn this today. And if you're taking notes, this is one I want you to write down. We never gain a proper perspective on the issues we face in life outside of the presence of the Father. Let me say that again this morning for you. We will never gain a proper perspective on the issues we face in life outside of the presence of the Father. We see this in Psalm 73. Again, Asaph says, starting in verse 16, so I try to understand why the wicked prosper, but what a difficult task it is. Then I went into your sanctuary, O God. It's my favorite part. Then I went into your sanctuary, O God, and I finally understood the destiny of the wicked. And this is Asaph's experience going into the sanctuary. And this is what it shows us, that God is not only looking past the temporary, you know, he has a plan for our future that is being worked out according to his will, but that here in his presence, this is where all the life circumstances will have to come face to face with the sovereignty of God, with the truth of who he is and his unchanging and unwavering nature that he is good. And I love that Asaph points out in the beginning of this psalm here that it can be so easily missed. You know, he says it. I almost missed it. Life comes so fast and furious, and if we wrestle with the issues of life outside of the presence of the Father, we will miss it. So practically, what does this look like? You know, I like to give practical points in my messages, and I think for me, my encouragement to you is to find a physical place that you can call your sanctuary, a place that you can go to that you can carve out that this is a place where I'm removing myself from distractions, setting myself apart to really wrestle with the things of with the Lord. I know for me, I have a gazebo that's a block from my house in Collinswood, New Jersey. And if you're ever in New Jersey, you're welcome to share my space with me. But when I'm really going through things, I'm feeling assaulted in life and struggling with what's going through me, this is where I go. And it's not the physical place that's really the, you know, what I'm emphasizing here. You know, you don't have to find a gazebo or something like that, but it's really where my actions are aligned with my heart in the moment that I'm saying, God, I gotta get to you. I gotta remove myself from whatever circumstances I'm observing that I'm not understanding or I'm questioning and I really am struggling. I need to get to you. I need to go to this place. And so I encourage you to find this place for yourself. And so as sons and daughters, we have to know how to run to the Father first. As a worship leader, one of my favorite stories, obviously, is Acts 16, Paul and Silas praying and praising God in the prison, and you know, and then the earthquake, and the doors open, everybody's free. But it's an amazing picture of worship, but it's also amazing picture of sonship to me. We talk about two sons; they're being led by a vision from the Lord. Then they're wrongfully accused. Then they're flogged. Then they're placed in the innermost part of the prison. And what I love is what's recorded here. It's not that they weren't complaining. It's not recorded that they were grumbling amongst themselves. It's not recorded that they were questioning God in the prison cell. What's recorded is that they were praying. What's recorded is that they were praising God. And I love that picture that the Lord is showing us that it's so evident that they didn't live their life second-guessing the Father's plan for them. And for me, the question for us this morning is the challenge is that as we evaluate in our own life, if we're in a place of second-guessing the goodness of God, I would say, look at this story. Find yourself in the deepest or the darkest moment of your struggle, and make note of what your response is. Are you running to the Lord? Are you praising Him in your struggles or what you're wrestling with? Are you finding this place of sanctuary in the moment, or are you second guessing Him? Or are you going somewhere else outside of the presence of the Lord for your answers? And so that's my challenge for you this morning, is to make note observe how you're living your life, how you're leaning into your relationship as a son or daughter in the house. We have another great example. I mean, there's no greater example than Jesus. Here he is in the garden when he was being sorrowful even unto death in Matthew 26. We're going to read this together. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, I love that, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." So here's Jesus, one and the same with the Father, but in his humanity, felt everything that we would feel when facing a hard circumstance, right? And he's literally grappling in his flesh the fate of all humanity and the Father's plan to use his death to redeem us, you know? And I'm like, I can't imagine what he must have really been wrestling with in the moment. Talk about wrestling in a circumstance. But what does he show us here? He shows us something very powerful, that even at our very lowest, even at our most sorrowful, in this case, even when our obedience to God doesn't actually eradicate suffering, but demands that we go through a suffering season. As a son or daughter, we must lean into the Father for understanding. This is what Jesus is showing us here, for fresh reminders that the Lord, he has a master plan for us and for his people that may involve us going through something. And only for us to really understand, it's like Asaph says, then I went into the sanctuary and I understood. So friends, I encourage you this morning, don't let running to the Father be your last resort or a second resort. Really, let it be your first this morning. Just to give you another practical test, another testimony this morning, I get to see Justin about twice a year at our, we have a gathering of pastors from all over the region. We meet in Virginia in the fall and in the spring. And last spring, though Justin wasn't there because Cool Nolan was being born a little early, right? That Friday before, one of our dearest friends in my family and our church, who's like a father to me, had a massive heart attack suddenly. And so that Tuesday, before our drive down to Virginia, he's in the hospital by his bed, praying to God that he would heal him miraculously. There was really, you know, you walk into that moment and we knew that he was in a coma, and they already told us that there was no brain function, but we were just believing for a miracle. And I was really struggling because, like I told you before, I didn't have my father from the age of 9 until this moment. But these last years, Pat had been a father to me. His name was Pat O'Neill. And I was literally crying at his bedside, Lord, please don't take him away. Don't know how I'm going to deal with him being gone. And so we get the call on Wednesday that we need to leave early from our gathering to come back to watch him take his final breath. And it really wreaked havoc on me. And I'm sharing this, being vulnerable with you guys, because I want you to understand this is me giving you a practical example of what's going on. I'm just really wrestling. Lord, I don't see your goodness in this. I don't understand what's happening in this moment. And so that Friday, that following Friday, I'm planning his memorial service, and I decide, hey, I need to do what I told you guys you should do. I need to go to my gazebo. I need to go pray. I need to go, Lord, wrestle with these questions with him, not with anyone else, but with him. And I can only tell you that when I was planning some memorial service, and everyone was sending me pictures of him for the slideshow. And so I get text messages, and I'm taking screenshots. And what ends up happening is I get this screenshot, and I put it in my screenshots folder. And the first thing that I see in my screenshots folder is this picture, if you can go to it. There was a screenshot that I've taken the Friday before Pat passed away. And this is, you don't know what this is, but I'm going to tell you what it says. It says PMC, today at 6 p.m., the O'Neills. The O'Neills, and at PMC means premarital counseling. And so the O'Neills, Pat and Kathy O'Neill, were our premarital counselors. That's how we became close with them. And so ever since then, I've never taken this out of my calendar. And when it pops up as a reminder, it reminds me to pray for them or to call them. And sometimes I would send it to them and say, hey, I'm thinking of you. But this one particular time, I took a screenshot, and I didn't know why. I just put it away. But the Lord knew. And so when I'm sitting here in my gazebo a week later, dealing with the fact that Pat's no longer with me, the Lord begins to share with me his goodness in this situation. You know, and it's really hard to explain, but he used that to show me that he had given me Pat for the last 6 years to be a father, to be an answer to prayer that I forgot I even prayed when I was 17 or 18, when I first became a believer, that Pat was that answer to prayer, that he'd given me him. Not only that, but in the most pivotal season of my life, becoming a husband, becoming a father, he gave me him. So we can go to this next slide in these pictures. That's Pat and his wife, Kathy, and it's Elizabeth and I. God began to show me, and all this stuff begins to be uncovered on a Friday at my gazebo, that that he began to show me Pat had loved me like a son and helped me through our engagement. This was us at our engagement party. They're there with us, supporting us in this moment. In the second one, God really began to show me that I needed Pat's blessing and approval at my wedding, as if he was standing in for my father. And I didn't even realize those were healing moments for me until this moment. And God knew that more healing would come for me when Pat is in the hospital with us, with our first daughter who was being born, with as much joy as any grandfather could have for their granddaughter. And it just did something restorative and healing in my heart. And God began to just reorient my perspective in this moment. And so it didn't really, I'm gonna tell you this, it didn't really change or eradicate my feeling of loss. I still miss him to this day. But what it did was it framed how I was processing it. It framed in provision and the miracle working goodness of God. And I think that sometimes it's hard for us to see in moments where we're struggling, where we're going through things, but God has a plan. God has a sovereign plan for our life, and he's always weaving, and he's always working in our lives, and we can miss it if we don't stop and ask God, God, can you show me this picture? Can you help me understand? And so even as I began to share this with my wife, it began a healing work for all of us as we were processing grief and a surprising grief in our life. God's beginning to show us, Jeremy, don't miss it. Don't miss what I've been doing these past 6 years. Don't let it slip by the work that I've been doing in your life to get you to this point. So this is going to bring us to our next point here. Sons and daughters, we do not hide from God. We learn at a very young age that a son or daughter is literally like one of the first things we learn, actually, is an innate result of being born into sin is the first thing Adam and Eve did, right? They hid from the Lord. Didn't change who God was. You know, he pursued them, but that's the first thing, the inclination was, we need to hide from him. I tell this funny story of me and my brother. You guys might not think it's funny, but it's this funny story of me and my brother. Before my dad passed away, he was in this van club. I don't know if they ever had those around where you guys are from, but it's like a car club. And back in the 80s, there were these where people used to trick out their vans and the inside and the outside. And Justin's looking at me, he's never heard this thing before. But it was really cool. And then you go to these van parades and everybody's showing off their cool van. So anyway, my dad had a really great van in the backyard. And my brother, we jumped in to the van one afternoon. We weren't supposed to. And there was this little package of chocolate on a console. And so we snuck we were like, we're going to eat this chocolate because it's just sitting here looking so lovely. Did not realize that it was a chocolate laxative. Yeah. And you're only supposed to take like a little bit. We ate like the whole thing. So I'll spare you the rest of the visuals of the story. However, our inclination in the moment was not, oh my gosh, we need to tell our parents that there's a lot of stuff happening right now in our pants. It was more, our response was, we need to hide, figure out, and clean up this mess ourselves, and no one can ever know. Didn't work out. Parents ended up finding out, because there's no way you can hide that when you're 8 years old. but you guys, I tell that story because we even learn when we're young through our parents' reactions that maybe hiding, if we can get away with it, might result in a consequence that would fare better for us in the long run. In this case, it did not fare better for me. But we're going to look at Asaph's confession in Psalm 73 as he finds himself, now he's in the sanctuary and he's processing. He's processing and he's coming before the Lord with all of his heart. And let's watch the father's heart in response. Verse 21, he says, "Then I realized that my heart was bitter and I was all torn up inside. I was so foolish and ignorant. I must have seemed like a senseless animal to you. Yet I still belong to you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, leading me to a glorious destiny. Whom have I in heaven but you? I desire you more than anything on earth. My heart may fail and my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine forever." As a son or daughter, we have to open our eyes to the heart of the Father concerning us. when we're struggling either with sin or shame or circumstance, or we're feeling oppressed by pain or maybe depression or anxiety, I think we naturally feel the inclination, like me and my brother did in that moment, to run to a corner and hide and deal with our mess ourselves. However, that's not God's design for our relationship. You can see this in verse 23. He says he will comfort. You know, he will draw closer in these scriptures. He will provide wisdom that will lead us, right? Does anybody want wisdom in this place? He will protect and empower us. He will provide for us. You see that God wants us to bring everything before him, bear all before him, in our deepest and our darkest, and then he begins to do his part in the process. He begins to do this thing where he's comforting us, where he's affirming us, where he's providing the wisdom that we need when we come to him and don't hide. I don't want us to miss out on God's impartation of his blessings in our life because we choose to hide or cower in a corner. This is encouragement for us this morning that there's blessings when we come before the Lord and we bring everything to him. So lastly, as we're going through these parts today, and it's going to sound really funny if I say this, but sons and daughters, we know that we're sons and daughters. Sounds like a funny statement to say, but we need to know that we are sons and daughters. There's an intimacy that God wants us to have with him in this way. Let's read Galatians 4:6 together. Because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. This meaning of Abba, Father, is so significant. What I understand the translation to mean or interpretation, it means the dearest Father. It's a meaning of deep reverence and respect, but also the fullness of intimacy, knowing the Father and also being known by the Father. And so often we can treat the Lord like an impersonal master and not a father. You know, we'll try to prove ourselves to him, right? We'll try to earn his love, and when he's already loved us, you know, we'll subtly begin to feel and act like employees when God has made us sons and daughters. But we remember what we read in the beginning, Romans 8:15-16. You did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And so as I close here, I'm reminded of how much I relate to the story of the prodigal son in Luke 15. And of course, there's the actual prodigal. I think we all can, at least most of us can relate to where we are in your journey. The thoughts of being restored back into the family of God, I think that's always, we grab hold of that part of the parable. But I found myself relating to the older brother in the story. He's in the house, but really no real revelation of him being a son in the house. And you see, he works for the approval of the father. He serves him without fully understanding the father's love and plans for him. So he goes to celebrate the return of the prodigal of his brother. He doesn't understand that he already has a position as a son in the house. But I love the father's heart is shown here through the father in this parable, because he not only goes after the lost son, but after the celebration or during the celebration, he leaves it to go after the other son, the elder son as well. And I don't want us to miss that. And he pleads with him. The father says, my son, you are always with me by my side. Everything I have is yours to enjoy. So I love this as I think about Galatians 4:7. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, than an heir through God. This is our position with the Lord. There's a great inheritance, right? There's this great sense of belonging and intimacy and security with the Lord that he's looking for us to lean into with him. So I think about this, the scripture of Jesus in the garden, and he's crying out, Father. You know, he's using the word Abba, and you know, we only have this one record of Jesus using this word. And it's in this prayer in the garden before the crucifixion. And this, and as I'm doing my research, it's not really a phrase that was really used much in Jewish culture to refer to God in prayer. And so I'm sure, I feel like it must have stunned the disciples in this moment to hear Jesus using this word, communicating with God the Father in this way, because they've never done this before. And I believe that that was intentional for the Lord to show them, for to bring them with him and hear him pray to the Father in this way. In this moment, I am crying out to the Lord. I have this sense of belonging and connection with God the Father. And I believe that's the way the Lord wants us to lean into our relationship with him. And so that's why I love that scripture. In adopting us, God gives us the very spirit of his son. And he grants us to feel the same affections that Jesus felt for the Father. That we get to belong to the very family of God. So this morning, I just want to encourage you this morning. I'm not sure where you are. I know I've talked a lot about these grand topics, and I know you can apply them into your life. You may be thinking about, you know, what does it mean to second guess the goodness of God in my life, or what does it mean to run to God? Just want to encourage you to lean into these, to think about these things in your life. This morning, I really get a sense that, you know, even as we're praying for this family, we know that people go through a lot, and there's a lot of struggles in our lives that leave us questioning the goodness of God, leave us thinking about, you know, Lord, what is your plan in all of this? And I believe this morning that as we were praying for this family, I believe like, wow, God, I really felt like, okay, you sent me here in this moment to encourage everybody that, hey, I'm your father. Lean into me. I want to speak to your heart in this moment. I want to encourage you that I do have a plan, that everything I'm doing is framed in my goodness, that it's never changing, it's never wavering. Can I just pray for you this morning as we close? Lord, thank you that you are a good father, that your nature is good, that you never change, that you're always good to us, Lord. Help us to lean into the process of going to you first, of being a people who are characterized by running to you with our questions, bearing all before you, Lord, that processing the issues of life in your presence. Lord, help us to be in your presence and to not run from you, Lord. Speak to our hearts this morning. Encourage us, Lord. You are so good. You are so faithful. You have a plan. You are sovereign, Lord. And if we will wrestle with you, if we will come to you, you have impartation of blessings and gifts and things that you're working out in our lives all the time. Help us to see what you're doing in us. Help us to see how you're building us into your people, Lord. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.